From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Letson. In just a few days, Germans will go to the polls to vote for a new government. And in a typical year, I gotta say, I wouldn't care. I mean, let's face it, the German elections are sleepy compared to what we're used to here, and they don't affect us, right? But things are different with this election, and they're different in ways that sound strangely familiar. First, fake news. Yeah, it's a thing, just like it was in our election. And so are alleged Russian meddling, hate groups, and the rise of right-wing politicians with a nationalist agenda. That's happening in Germany, too. This is the rally of a right-wing group called Pegida. They gathered back in March on an old market square in the middle of Dresden. They do this once a week, and their rallies always start with music. A cross between elevator music and Lord of the Rings, maybe? A woman steps onto a tiny stage and starts reading the rules of the rally. This is Germany, after all. Public gatherings are regulated to the smallest detail. She says flags can't be taller than 2 meters. Also, very important, no laser pointers, no LED lights, no overly bright bicycle lights. All seems pretty tame. But then the music changes. And suddenly, they're playing clips of German Chancellor Angela Merkel. They're chanting traitor to the people, a term that was used by the Nazis. And then Merkel must go. There's a guy holding a poster that shows Merkel wearing a Hitler mustache and a hijab. She's got outstretched hands covered in blood. A political poster like that would offend people here, but in Germany, it's outrageous and unheard of. Until now. And it doesn't stop there.
Lügenpresse?
This guy is yelling Lügenpresse, or lying press. It's the same term that American white supremacist Richard Spencer likes to use. And the reporter this guy is yelling at is Louisa Beck. Louisa is a German-American reporter partnering with us and the online news organization Coda Story. She was raised in Germany and has been tracking the rise of right-wing populism in Germany's election. She takes it from here.
Lügenpresse is a word that Adolf Hitler used to bash media that was critical of him during World War II. People here think all mainstream media is biased and in cahoots with their political rivals. I try to talk with them, but most refuse. Pegida stands for Patriotic Europeans Against the Islamization of the West. And standing in the middle of their rally, you get a good sense of the issues being debated in this year's election. The future of the EU, Islam, border security, refugees. Pegida's not a political party. They're more like a fringe group of activists. But they're finding a friend in a new party that is running for office, the AfD, or Alternative for Deutschland. I decide to seek out one of the AfD's leading candidates, Beatrix von Storch. When I arrive at the address in Berlin, an old mustard-colored apartment building, there's a sign for a doctor's office, but no sign anywhere for a politician's headquarters. Only a tiny buzzer.
Okay, danke.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we don't have a sign here in the house. This is for security reasons. Yes, we have got a
Beatrix von Storch's party has no chance of winning a majority in parliament, but they could win seats, which would give them a say in policymaking. I walk inside her office, and it's clean and orderly. Her desk completely empty, except for a flyer that says, Das Beste kommt noch, which means the best is still to come.
Yes, we have got a police here who checked the house and then we changed the doors and all this kind of stuff.
Has there been vandalism in the past for AfD offices?
Yes, a bit. I mean, not a bit, but a lot.
She pulls out her phone and shows me photos of her office. Spray-painted walls, broken windows, and lots of messages scribbled across her door.
Again, something here.
Nazi.
Hure, bitch. So we overpainted it, and then they burned my car.
They burned it.
Yeah. This used to be my car. So...
Do you know who did it?
It's the far left. This is what we know. It has been published on some far left forbidden or illegal website. And
she swipes to a photo of a graffitied message on her office wall about her grandfather.
The thing is, they're talking about my grandfather. My grandfather was a finance minister of Adolf Hitler. Yes, he was. So they put that on my door.
Even though people attack von Storch, she doesn't look threatening. She's in her mid-40s, wears pink pastel pants, and if anything, comes off as rather aristocratic. Just like you'd expect from the daughter of a German duchess. And that's not all she is.
I'm vice chair of the Alternative for Germany, stellvertretende Sprecherin der AfD im Bund. And I'm now on the list, on the regional list for the election for the Bundestag, for the region of Berlin. I'm a leading candidate. I'm candidate number one. And I'm a member of the European Parliament.
When you talk to von Storch, you get the sense that Germany is under attack.
We have a severe problem, so we're not able to take in other millions from other cultural background.
She's talking about refugees. In 2015, as people were fleeing wars in Syria, Afghanistan, and other countries, Germany's Chancellor Angela Merkel did something unprecedented. She allowed over 1.1 million refugees to enter the country. Much of the world celebrated the decision as humanitarian. But for von Storch, it was a big mistake.
We want to have clear rules. We want to have a rule which is saying who fits into our society, who wants to integrate into our society, whom do we need, and then we want to pick them. And because everyone is claiming to be an asylum seeker, and so we don't pick them. We are just letting them in.
Actually, that's not true anymore. These days, the German government severely restricts who's allowed to enter and stay. If an asylum seeker cannot show they're politically threatened in their home country, they could be deported. Chancellor Merkel herself has since vowed that a situation like the summer of 2015 must not be repeated. Still, foreigners coming to live in Germany, that's the issue that von Storch is using to win supporters for the AfD party. And it's something Germans have grappled with for a long time. Many don't consider Germany a nation of immigrants, even though millions of foreign guest workers have lived here for decades. To see how von Storch is using this touchy subject to win voters, I follow her on a campaign sweep through one of Germany's most conservative states, Bavaria. We're in the city of Augsburg. It's in the south of Germany, just outside of Munich. It's predominantly Catholic, and on Sundays, families are out, strolling around, enjoying street music. The campaign event is at a beer house, and outside, there are way more police cars than passenger cars. And inside, Beatrix von Storch stands on a stage and rails against the media. She goes through a list of articles and tells the audience how each story gets something wrong. At one point, she quotes a conservative politician of another party.
We need to stop the thousands of human traffickers who've taken the EU hostage and, if necessary, to take up arms.
Although she's quoting someone else, von Storch has agreed with the sentiment. Last year, when someone on Facebook asked, "Do you want women with children to be denied entry by armed force?" she replied with a simple yes. But for von Storch, the biggest thing plaguing Germany isn't just controlling the border. It's Islam.
As a culture, we won't make compromises with Islam. We won't let Germany get taken over by Islam.
I ask her what kind of compromises she means, and she brings up Islamic law, also known as Sharia.
Sharia is not only regulating the personal, Sharia is also civil law and punishing law and public law, and it claims to, you know, organize the society and ruling the way of living. This is not compatible with our culture and with our way of living.
Yes, she's right that some Muslims consider Sharia law important in their lives. But to be clear, if someone who's Muslim does not comply with German law, they could go to prison, just like anyone else. Her next worry is a lot cruder.
So not to have very short skirts or all this kind of stuff, not to provoke the Muslim men because they might, you know, misunderstand a short scarf as inviting them to rape.
The German Federal Statistics Office has no data on sexual harassment by Muslim men, and there's no proof that there's an upward trend. But what we do know is that crimes against foreigners living in Germany have been going up.
It's a very clear line what we have. Islam does not belong to Germany, and it does not fit into our society, doesn't go together with our values.
Beatrix von Storch isn't the first to make Islamophobic statements in Germany, but she and her party have been more successful than anyone else at spreading that message. And she's had some effective teachers.
My party only was founded in 2013, but years before, I founded myself a grassroots movement, which basically was acting like those Tea Party we knew from the United States.
So you learned from the strategies of the conservatives, including the Tea Party, and then used them here.
Sure. So we had people to teach us and to tell us who had spent their time in the United States, and we made them come to us and advise us how to do this.
The Tea Party. This is the last place I expect to hear about them. But it turns out there are a lot of people here who feel that Germany should be looking to the U.S. Back outside, I meet a guy named Max Nagle.
Donald Trump. Yes, yes, great. I'm happy he got elected because in his whole way he is so different, and because I think that political establishments all over the Western world are so corrupt, right, that somebody who stirs them up at least gives me the hope that something better might happen.
Max is from Bavaria and works as a mailman, but he dresses more like a male model. He wears snakeskin shoes, designer jeans, and proudly tells me people confuse him for being Italian. He's been a member of von Storch's party for about 6 months, but this is the first time he's heard her speak live.
Okay, so what did you think of what she had to say?
I think all in all, it was pretty much the truth or how we feel about it. So many Muslim people coming into the country who will have children, of course, and you don't have to have gone to Harvard to know that this will make Germany and Europe more and more Islamic. And if you want that, then good luck to you, but I don't want it, you know? I do not want to become like an Islamic state. Why do all these Muslim people come to Christian countries? No,
this kind of rhetoric upsets a lot of Germans. A few feet away from where Max and I are standing, protesters are shouting, "Get out, Nazis!" and "Get rid of nationalist thinking." Just like in the U.S., the anti-immigrant, anti-Muslim message here has divided the country. And even though the AfD is a small party, it's had a big effect on mainstream politics.
And with the introduction of right-wing populism, we now have basically a player who doesn't stick to the unwritten rules, a player that is immoral, that says things that are outrageous and discriminatory.
That's Christian Lude, a member of the Social Democrats, one of the center-left parties. He says German politics used to be very civil, but the AfD changed that. And the media and politicians don't know what to do about it.
Do you try to go after them and then you make them stronger, which is probably what happened to Trump, or the over-reporting and everything made him bigger than he was? Do you leave them alone, which is bad because we think that terrible things need to be addressed? But the worst is that it's hard for us to know to what extent their messages resonate with the people that will vote on election day.
Now, he says, Germans are having to discuss topics they thought they'd gotten past.
We thought that racism was, institutional racism was gone. And we find that It is not at all. There's a resurgence of nationalist beliefs and racist beliefs. There's a resurgence of anti-Semitism.
Earlier this year, an AfD leader named Björn Höcke made a statement that shook Germany's media and politics. Here's what he said.
We Germans are the only people in the world to plant a monument of shame in the heart of its capital.
It might sound like nothing, just a politician making a statement about a monument in the capital. But it was a huge deal in Germany, because Höcke was referring to a Holocaust memorial to murdered Jews. And in another speech, he referred to refugee shelters as breeding grounds for the germs of fundamentalism in which criminals are spawned. Elizabeth Whaling is a researcher at UC Berkeley who studies right-wing rhetoric. And she's German herself.
This is really a new shift. We have not seen this type of discourse in a broad public really since the Nazi Reich.
And it's not just what's being said, it's how. She says Höcke and the AfD party leaders often use metaphors that compare the nation to a body and refugees to invaders or disease. She says it comes straight from the Nazis.
So this is a push of these political groups to call into question how should Germany feel about people that are quote-unquote not part of the German identity. But now the population they're going against is the Muslim population, saying the Islam, for instance, is like a foreign thing to our culture, doesn't fit with our culture, and so it's a threat to our identity.
To be clear, there's been a lot of infighting within the AfD party about what kind of language to allow, and Björn Höcke was almost kicked out. Most German voters, and almost 40% of AfD supporters, say the party has not distanced itself enough from right-wing extremism. So, do Beatrix von Storch's supporters believe her us versus them talk? And do they, like her, think German identity is being threatened? And why? The day after her speech in Augsburg, I'm on my way to our next rally. I'm driving there with Enrico Ladewig, an AfD member. He tells me they've had to change the location because event spaces in the original town refused to host them. So instead, we're heading to a tiny village, Ositzhausen bei Au in der Hallertau. No, I'm not making that up. We're passing through fields of hops, and Enrico tells me this is where all the hops are grown for Germany's beer. The campaign event is, of course, at a beer house. And inside, there are wooden tables covered with large mugs of lagers and stouts. People are eating schnitzel. A few even wear lederhosen and blue checkered shirts. It's kind of like a caricature of German culture, but the audience seems really into it. I share a table with Ulrike Döbeling and Renate Neuling, who live in Bavaria. And I ask them, what does it mean to be German? They tell me you can have German citizenship, be brought up in Germany, but never be German. Germany just isn't an immigration country, they tell me. They say being German is Oktoberfest and Christianity and places like the one we're sitting in. Here, I should note, everyone is white. Beatrix von Storch starts her speech and hits on the same point as the day before. But today, it's more extreme.
There's the question of whether we're going to make compromises with Islam, and I always break it down to a simple formula. We live in the New Age. If we want to make compromises with the Stone Age, then we'll land in the Middle Ages.
There's a lot of clapping, and when the Q&A session starts, I raise my hand. One of the organizers hands me a microphone, and I ask Beatrix the question I came here for. I say, I want to ask you, what is German culture?
Meine Frage ist, Sie haben mehrmal deutsche Kultur angesprochen. Ich wollte Sie fragen, was ist deutsche Kultur?
The audience isn't happy about the question, and von Storch isn't either. She repeats the same points she's made to me before about not wanting to compromise with Islam, not wanting Islamic law in Germany. I respond by saying that Muslims living here have to abide by German law too, just like anyone else. And then the event organizer takes the mic away from me and says, this isn't the place to discuss such fundamental questions about who is German and who isn't. But von Storch tells me, I should ask President Trump why the U.S. doesn't take in 1.5 million refugees. Then I'd have the answer to my question. As I turn to grab my things, Ulrike Döbeling, the woman I'd been sitting next to, tells me to go put on a hijab and get myself to Syria. I leave, and Enrico drives me back through the fields of hops to the train station. He tells me they're just talking tough for show. It's an election season, after all. But to me, the anger in that room felt all too real. So I mostly look out the car window and stay silent.
That story from Louisa Beck. The AfD is currently polling at about 10% of German voters. That's small but significant. Since World War II, more than a dozen right-wing groups have tried to enter Germany's national parliament, and they've all failed. But this year, if the polls are right, the AfD has a chance to win seats, which will give it a say in writing national legislation. The AfD is spreading its message against Islam with a propaganda tool that played a role in our own election, fake news. When we come back, how an innocent selfie set off a political firestorm that continues to burn. This is Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.